Hey, it's Farnoosh, and if I had to go back to my 19-year-old self and share her my one big piece of financial wisdom that I've learned in these 25 years, it's this. You can't save your way to wealth. You can't save your way to a comfortable retirement. You have to invest your money. Luckily, I got started in my early 20s. I learned that lesson early on, and I want to share the wisdom. I want to share what I've learned over these last 20-plus years investing in the stock market. I don't pick stocks. I don't pay lots of money to work with experts, and I've amassed a seven-figure portfolio slow and steady. I'm teaching my very unsexy tricks on Monday, April 29th, live at 3 p.m. Eastern. Go to sowmoneyworkshop.com to learn more and save your spot. Go to sowmoneyworkshop.com and sign up for my investing masterclass. Even if you can't make it live, everyone who registers will get the recording.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with tap to pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1114, Financial Independence for Teachers, with professor and author Mark Shug.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
And I was talking to a second grade teacher who lives in the neighborhood. And I was telling her, hey, you know, we've got this new book called Teachers Can Be Financially Fit, Economist Advice for Educators. And she turned to me with a big smile and she says, oh, well, it's a joke book then.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm your host, Farnoosh Torabi. Our show today is dedicated to teachers out there. If you are a teacher, if you're married to a teacher, your loved ones are teachers, share this episode. It's important. I think now more than ever, as we are in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a recession, teachers are at the heart and soul and matter of everything. A functioning society, a thriving society depends on many people, but in particular teachers. And I happen to think that, at least from where I stand, I think that we're not giving enough credit to teachers, enough praise, but also money, right? It's no secret that affording life as a teacher is difficult. The salaries are not high. The work is extremely important. And our guest today has some solutions for teachers to build economic independence. Mark Shug is a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. He's president of Mark Shug Consulting, and he's the author of the new book, Teachers Can Be Financially Fit, Economist's Advice for Educators. You just heard him tell the story of his book to his neighbor, a teacher who laughed it off, didn't think it could be possible. Well, I'm not going to lie, it's not easy. But Mark and I have a really thorough conversation about how teachers can get further along. And a lot of teachers have come onto this show talking about leveraging their entrepreneurial interests, creating extra revenue streams. So we talk about that, but also how to invest, how to save. I think some changes are afoot in the education industry. I think some positive changes down the road. And I look forward to a day where we appreciate and value our teachers, financially value our teachers a lot more. In the meantime, here's my conversation with Mark Shug. I hope you enjoy it. Mark Shug, welcome to So Money. It's great to have you on the show.
Farnoosh, thanks for asking me to come.
Of course. Any friend of Susan Beecham's is a friend of mine, audience. Susan and I are besties. She's been on the show a lot, and she's one of the champions of financial literacy. If you've got a money savvy pig in your house, that pig with the four slots, save, spend, donate, invest, or you've seen it, it's so popular, she invented it. And we met actually on an assignment. I was writing a story like 20 odd years ago for Money Magazine about just, I had to find someone interesting who was doing something interesting in the world of financial literacy. Found a clipping of Susan who was taking like, I think, five-year-olds to a McDonald's shareholders meeting. I thought, that's interesting. And the rest is history. So fast forward to a few weeks ago, she emailed me and said, Farnoosh, you've got to talk to Mark. He's written an incredible book. He's been a financial educator for his entire career. He's a friend, and I was sold. She didn't really have to sell you too high. Like, clearly you're doing amazing work, and the timing is just right, I think, to connect with you. And this book that you've written, this latest book called Teachers Can Be Financially Fit, Economists' Advice for Educators. I want to help out teachers right now, and the best way I know how is to maybe give them some financial literacy, education, advice. So this book is really hitting us at an important time. It's a hard time for teachers right now. So first, Mark, welcome to the show. And tell us, what was the inspiration for this book? Did you even know it was going to come out at a time like this?
Well, for sure, we did not know that it was going to come out at a time like this. And just before we leave the subject completely, yeah, Susan is an old friend. We've worked together for many years. And so I'm very, very grateful to her for connecting the two of us together here today. We've been talking about this for a long time. Susan's one of the reasons that we finally finished the book. I had kind of put the whole idea on the shelf for a long time. But just to tell you a quick story, this Labor Day weekend, we had a little block party in our neighborhood. We were all social distanced and whatnot. And I was talking to a second grade teacher who lives in the neighborhood. And I was telling her, hey, you know, we've got this new book called Teachers Can Be Financially Fit, Economist Advice for Educators. And she turned to me with a big smile and she says, oh, well, it's a joke book then. And, you know, that's part of the story, is that so many teachers, and that we actually followed up with a pretty detailed survey of teachers that we did to prepare us more to write the book. And, you know, teachers have this little cloud over their head that they tell themselves, and of course they make a modest income. And then the kind of ethic, the kind of culture in a lot of schools is that, well, we can never get rich, and we watch our friends get rich, but we can never get rich. So part of the purpose of this book is to say, hey, look, you have a good job. You've got a lot of job security. You've got some benefits that nobody else has. You don't make a ton of money. That's right. So what are we going to do to make sure that you can be financially fit? And that's what this book is about.
So without giving away the entire book, because we do want everybody to purchase it and give it to a teacher friend, a great gift for the holidays, tell us where to begin. If you are a teacher listening, or married to a teacher, or about to become a teacher, and you've been kind of, you know, what you say, I think is right. I think that they're like a lot of artists feel this way too. It's like, I'm doing this for the love of the craft. I don't anticipate making a lot of money, and it's just not in my cards in this profession. What are some like key steps that everybody today maybe can even start, even if it's a mindset shift or actual money moves?
Well, I think one of the real problems that we face here is that a lot of teachers get off to a bad start. You know, there's some issues in the financial community, the financial institutions. Some teachers have gotten, you know, really a lot of pressure to get into a 403B plan that involves insurance products that are annuities. And those are often kind of high cost and low return. And they're not often exposed to the other types of advice that they would get from other financial advisors and that sort of thing. We worry a little bit that the state retirement pensions that teachers have sometimes may give them a little bit of a false sense of security. And of course, they are defined benefit plans. And, you know, that's, you know, like the gold standard for a retirement plan. But of course, then a lot of these plans are in big trouble in terms of being underfunded. And then teachers in private schools and private universities and colleges, you know, they often have very, very modest benefits in charters. I know charter schools where teachers barely are given a 403B. They're not allowed to permit in the state participate in the state retirement plan. So there's a, and then, you know, the financial, it turns out that the people who teach are largely female, 77%, as a matter of fact, and increasing rather than decreasing. And you know, you've been doing your show for years. I mean, you know that women are often there are.
We need money. We need money, Mark. Yeah. We can't subside on
that's right
$30,000 a year for the rest of our lives, and then to your point, sold products that are not beneficial to us, financial products.
Yeah. So now to get more directly to your question, what advice do we have for teachers? Well, the first thing we do is sort of in chapter one, we kind of say you've got to get over this. We can't do it kind of thing. And if you look around in your building, you're going to see people who are near retirement that really are millionaires. And how did they do that? Well, you know, they made certain choices with their modest income. And that has, they got on a path that, you know, you read those stories and occasionally in the newspaper that this teacher passed away and then she left $1 million to a clinic or to her university. Well, how did that happen? Well, you know, those cases are out there. And, you know, I think teachers would be surprised to realize when you're getting late in your career, when your house is paid off, when the kids' college educations are attended to, and if you have gotten started down some right saving and investing paths, you can certainly be successful. So the first chapter is sort of a, you know, read the book, understand that you have to make some important choices that are a little hard. You know, the secret sauce is you have to spend less than you receive. And once you have to take that on board so that you can get toward the saving and investing process. And we know that's hard. You know, it's like I always compare it to getting on a healthy diet and doing regular exercise. So economists like to talk about costs and benefits a lot. And, you know, when you're going to go on that healthy diet, well, the costs are right real. They're immediate. They're right in front of you. And you know you can't have that beautiful prime rib on Friday night and that you have to sacrifice that in order to get a healthier diet. But when do the benefits occur? Well, the benefits are going to appear weeks, maybe even months down the road. And that's in the future. And you know, it's not 100% certain that it's going to happen either. You may stumble along the way. So the costs are immediate and real, and the benefits are uncertain and in the future. This requires some education. This requires for people to get some knowledge. That's number one. And then they have to buckle it down and take action.
But, you know, the advice of spend less than you earn, that's everyone should follow that. And I think with teachers, they are in a really different boat in that they often have to teach in high cost of living areas. Their salaries don't match that. Right now they're virtual, but largely they're not. I'd like to assume that this is not the new normal of everything becoming virtual. They will have to go back into a classroom one day and be close to the school. And that, you know, sometimes that's a non-negotiable. It's not fair to tell everybody, don't go to these cities to teach, because that's sometimes where the need is greatest. Yep. And it's not fair to say, don't go the public route, go maybe the private route where the salary could be a little bit higher.
No, by and large, private schools, teachers make much less than the public schools.
Really?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Well, that's a crime. having paid private school tuition.
Well, ask the teachers what they actually get paid. Maybe I was on the school board of a real high-end school Those teachers probably get paid very well. But if you look at the averages, can be deceiving, I know. But yeah, just think about your typical inner city Catholic school or Lutheran school. You know, those teachers are just not making a lot of money.
Sure. Well, I do think there's a lot to be said about the mindset changing. And one thing that I've interviewed enough teachers on this podcast who have gone on to exercise their entrepreneurial skill set. And even now we're seeing it where there's a lot of need for supplemental education, alternative education, homeschooling, and it's completely upended what we think is the normal way to learn. And as a result, parents and teachers for lack of leadership, really, it's like individual teachers and individual parents coming together to figure out alternatives. Teachers can make a lot of money right now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When it comes to maintaining good financial health, I think a key component is being able to track your progress, to see all of your investments and retirement accounts in one place. Now, thanks to our sponsor, Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views from multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. As a financial journalist and as an investor, Yahoo Finance has been my go-to site for years to access the tools and data behind the markets. It's also where I like to get a holistic view of the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, research charts, and so much more. Yahoo Finance is also where you can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com. That's YahooFinance.com. You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. Even leaving their school district and going into just people's backyards and teaching first graders. I mean, I just spoke with a service, $100 an hour for a teacher to come to your house.
I believe
she's not going to make that in public school or private school. So is part of the advice like broaden your horizon?
Yes, we have chapter 3. It's like
a very early chapter.
We made it a very early chapter. Well, you know, the second chapter is kind of the live below your means and a budgeting chapter. The third chapter is directly on earning extra income. In our interviews, in our survey that we did of teachers, that was something that really popped out. that teachers don't believe they can make it just on their own salary. And, you know, a lot of people go into teaching to be home with their families during the summer. So I'm not just saying it's all about earning extra income. However, kind of like you're suggesting, if you are a bit of an entrepreneur, you can, you know, there's lots of opportunities available to you today that didn't exist a few years ago. And then we cite a couple of cases. I mean, I knew a world history teacher for many years. He used to take kids to Europe. So you'd visit the ancient world and that kind of thing, just great firsthand kind of learning. Well, guess what? Over the years, he finally, you know, just went into the travel business. He just started his own business. There's lots of examples of that. And I want to keep good teachers in the classroom. And a lot of teachers, I'd say, I don't know if I can say the majority, because we had a lot of teachers that, you know, drive Uber in the summertime, paint houses, build swimming pools. There's all kinds of things they do. We have one teacher that ran the concessions in a great big summer festival. And his take, he taught in a private school. His take was that I work in the summer to make enough money so I don't have to depend so much on my teaching job.
Right.
So there are a lot of stories.
My teaching job is my passion. And then I actually have more money making gigs on the side,
right,
that are more for paying the bills.
Well, and just to address briefly, we do have a chapter on housing for teachers to kind of get into some of the issues you're talking about. And now there are some other programs to try and help teachers that are, as you said, that's a really, you know, in cities like New York and Los Angeles, San Francisco, very high cost of living cities, it's hard for a teacher to find something normal that they can get.
Mark, you are a professor, and for many teachers, that is the ultimate goal, right? Professors, depending, of course, you can make a very great living. You can get tenure. You know, I think a lot of professors enjoy their work. They get to do the work that they were always excited to do, the research, the teaching. It's living in a college town is also has its benefits. How do you get one of those coveted jobs? For anyone listening who kind of wants to rise through the ranks.
Yeah. Well, you need to get a PhD. And
sure.
That's sort of, and I started as a high school teacher myself. And so I wound up getting into higher education. That's not a real common path. Most people in higher ed, you know, go directly into graduate programs just upon finishing their undergraduate program. But in any event, we actually have a chapter on higher education connection, and there are this is changing too. Tenure is not as widely available as it once was. A lot of administrators today much prefer to hire under contracts, rather long-term contracts, rather as tenured faculty. In small liberal arts schools, I was at a fairly large university. I agree with everything you said. I love teaching. I like doing the writing. I like doing the speaking. This was the perfect job for me. A lot of people in the smaller liberal arts schools have more trouble. They feel they're poorly paid. They work night and day.
Irony.
Yeah.
You were at a public university, Wisconsin, right?
Right.
Okay. Sarah Lawrence, one of the highest tuitions, liberal arts. I don't want to know what their teachers are making. You know, I mean, to hear what you're saying is just, again, a crime. How can they do this? And they have endowments.
It's
just wrong.
You know, there are markets in play here, but there's a supply and demand thing going on, but it's still true. Our youngest daughter is a professor at Widener University. She's in the psychology department there in Philadelphia. And I can report that her salary is not what you might think it should be. If you're an economist going to be hired at just about any state school, I haven't looked lately. It's going to be around 120 to start.
Yeah.
And
well, can I add, if your book ever goes into a second printing, and maybe this is already in there, but you know, we've been talking a lot lately because of just the times and realizing, recognizing that financial independence is a heavy lift. And there's a lot of personal responsibility to achieving financial success, but there are systemic problems too that need to change. So one that I'm recognizing just in hearing you talk about the behind the scenes of the industry is like, can we raise the pay? Can we raise the bar, the pay bar for teachers? Aren't they important? I would argue they're just as important as doctors in a functioning society. It's coming to light now more than ever. I feel like the education system, public education, we're not prioritizing it. It's why bars are getting opened up earlier than kindergarten classes. And it's why, you know, fraternities are opening up sooner than, you know, first grade. It seems weird to me. And I think that's a clear area for progress. Would you agree that this is also an issue we need to take to the highest powers?
Well, I agree with that last statement for sure. In fact, teachers have been treated, you know, with this annuity problem. I mean, the Securities and Exchange Commission right now is investigating a few companies that may have kind of, you know, overly encouraged teachers into these annuity programs. They're talking about $1 trillion of teacher investment money that could have had alternative uses if they'd known more about what they were actually getting into. Teacher salaries do vary quite a bit around the country. I mean, this is always so true in many situations in the United States. It's certainly true in education. You know, a teacher in New York City makes a pretty good income. A teacher in Illinois makes a pretty good income. A teacher in Arizona, not so much. A teacher in Florida, not so much. You know, a teacher in Alabama, not so much. And there's been a big effort here in Florida to get everybody up to an over $40,000 starting salary. And I'm sure teachers in New York City and in New Jersey start at a much higher rate than that. Plus, their benefits packages are sort of amazing. I mean, they often retire very near, you had to put in your 40 years, right? I mean, that's a long stint to teach eighth grade. But if you are willing to put in your 40 years, you can retire at nearly full salary and full benefits. And, yeah. You know, now you and I know people in the private sector would say, oh my God, you know, what a wonderful thing. Now you got to teach eighth grade for 40 years. And I taught eighth grade for a while. That's not an easy proposition. And so it does vary around the country somewhat on how well teachers are treated. But I think your main point stands terrifically.
Yeah. And listeners, I want to encourage you. I've done some episodes on how some teachers have really leveraged their skill set to bring in a lot more money. There was one couple in particular. I remember one was a librarian. The wife was a librarian. The husband was I think he taught science and also coached football. And they both started to basically sell their curriculum that they had created online for other teachers around the country to learn from. And they made, I mean, and really what they were learning, what they had to learn, the learning curve for them, because they've already got the skills as teachers. So the learning curve for them was to learn the internet and how to market online. But they took some courses and then they figured it out. And they were on the show talking about how they made $1 million worth of sales between the two of them.
That's just a beautiful story.
Yeah. And then they can go back to their teaching jobs with so much more peace of mind. You know, when you can have any job without the burden of worrying about your finances, I mean, that's immeasurable. I mean, you can basically go to work and just focus on the work.
Well, the other thing about
it's a luxury.
The other thing about teachers is that they see young people every day. And if we're really concerned, this is where, you know, Susan's work and other people who worry about young people not getting a good financial education. And obviously that's very hit and miss around the country. I mean, financial education used to be fairly common in the United States. Math courses in particular used to offer all kinds of practical, you know, compounding interest examples, how to run your checking account and things like that. That stuff just is not around anymore. And so kids are sort of at sea in a lot of cases. A lot of kids come from families that don't provide the background and because they didn't have it themselves. I mean, but you know, think about the bigger message here. What if large numbers of teachers could really be, as you said, financially secure? Think about their confidence. Yeah. And then think about their confidence in front of their children. And the first thing a good teacher, as soon as a good teacher learns something new and gets good at it, what's the first thing they want to do? They want to share it with their kids. And that's, you know, our main goal is to help teachers become financially fit. But economists would call this a positive externality. The other thing we're looking for is a confident teacher in the classroom in terms of his or her finances is going to be a much more of an advocate in school, going to be willing to include those math examples and integrate financial concepts into the student's curriculum. So that's also a reason that teachers are a little different than nurses or other professions that might seem a little underserved in terms of finances. One friend of mine said he loved the book and he said, you should write a book called, Humanity Professors Can Be Financially Fit. One of the lines we talked about before. But anyway, so this idea that teachers work in classrooms with young people and are important in the lives of their students. That's another reason why we think this book is important.
Wouldn't it be something if the government said, if you want to become a teacher, you know, we'll pay for your schooling because we want to encourage more people to become teachers. And I think that the hurdle of carrying that debt and then entering a field where the income is so low, relatively speaking. And then I know some teachers, they want to make more, they have to get the master's degree and they just really weigh that, you know, it's like, is it worth it?
Yeah.
So I feel like if you stripped that financial burden from teachers, if you're not going to increase their pay, then you have to decrease the cost to entry. Something's got to give. And you mentioned that, I want to talk about this too, some of the other exclusive benefits to being a teacher. Sometimes we forget. So talk about, for example, the 403B, right? Because that's different than a 401k and it has some interesting benefits that are exclusive to it.
Right. That's, you know, part of the advice that we offer. We also have some advice on handling your student debt. That we do that in the chapter in higher education. We really encourage teachers to get a 403B. The difficulty there is sometimes the districts kind of steer them more toward these insurance products. They only have, you know, this is a employer-based program. And so you have to have the cooperation of the school district to take the money out of your paycheck pre-tax and put it into your 403B account. So that's why it's really important that teachers get some education about that so that they know that they insurance products may be a good choice for them. That's just fine. I just want people to have their eyes open when they're going into it. Some teachers might well like the security of an insurance product and are willing to accept the lower benefits as a result. But you know, to know that you can set up accounts with people like Fidelity and things like that, where you can be more into stocks, especially for young teachers, you know, have a much more vibrant portfolio than you would. And then for the teachers who become the entrepreneurs, you know, we encourage them into the SEP, to set up a SEP. That was some of the best advice I ever got in my life, was to have what is called single employer pension,
Simplified employer pension. Yeah, I have one of those.
Yeah.
You can contribute, I mean, like 10 times more than you can in an IRA, traditional IRA, and it is tax deductible. So if you are incorporated, this is a must.
Yeah. And so the teachers and you don't even have to be incorporated. If the teachers have these part-time jobs, or, you know, as you're saying, they're doing more entrepreneur, or you know, they're just, they have the part-time job, they're running the small business, getting that SEP is a wonderful second government or tax advantaged investment plan. And so we encourage people to get maxed out on every tax advantage plan that's available to them. And then, of course, to set up a brokerage account as well. But first, take advantage of the things that the government offers that have some tax benefits. So, yeah, we really try to get into that. That's especially important for, well, it's important for all teachers to have a 403B. It's especially important for, in a private school sector to have the 403B. But then you're probably looking at IRAs there, too, because a lot of private schools either have no 403B. A lot of the preschools don't even offer a 403B plan to their teachers, right? So they're just totally on their own. So to get any tax advantage, they're probably getting into Roth IRAs.
So then in conclusion, not totally in conclusion, because there's much more in the book, but I just want to wrap up some of the things that we have pointed out. So one, teachers, watch out for some of the scams that often, would you say that like teachers sometimes are targeted by these troubling insurance products, products?
The SEC is investigating, two or three firms right now. So I guess the answer is yes. I wouldn't go so far as to call it a scam, but it's not the best investment advice.
Okay. Live below your means, good for everyone, but especially critical for teachers who need to save every penny. Take advantage of your 403B, maybe open up a brokerage account. And last but not least, maybe this is first on your to-do list, increase your revenue streams. Teachers are just so knowledgeable, so experienced. Your talents should not just be restricted to your specific classroom. You have the internet to leverage. You have your community to leverage. I really encourage teachers to see themselves more as entrepreneurs. I think we agree on that. And, Mark, I think we can also agree that when teachers walk into that classroom, feeling more financially confident. Guess what? Now maybe they'll feel more confident teaching financial literacy to their students. And this is something that, I think we could both agree is far lacking in our education system, is giving kids just rudimentary finance 101 before they graduate. And I've heard it from a lot of teachers. I don't want to teach this because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yep. That's a very good point.
So equip the teachers with the confidence and pay them more. Whoever's listening, who's in charge of that. Can we just give them a salary boost already? It's time. It's time. Everybody, pick up Mark's book. It's a great, great, important book, I think, for all teachers at all levels. Teachers can be financially fit. It's on Amazon. Christmas is around the corner. Hanukkah's around the corner. Thanksgiving's around the corner. A great gift when you're next time gathering around family, or just surprise it. Send it to a friend. Send it to a sister who needs it. Really appreciate your time and your work, Mark.
Farnoosh, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for taking the time to ask me on the show.
Thanks so much to Mark Shug for joining us. The book again is called Teachers Can Be Financially Fit, Economist's Advice for Educators. If you have any questions for me for the Friday episode, I know that with the election coming up, you might have some questions about the market, the economy, the job market. Well, we've got a special guest visiting us next week following the election, Greg McBride from Bankrate.com, who's my go-to expert in all economies and all markets. He is my constant. And we're going to tackle your money questions. So take advantage of that. Send me your questions at Farnoosh Tarabi on Instagram. Direct message me there. Or you can email me, Farnoosh@somoneypodcast.com. And last, you can also go on the website to somoneypodcast.com, click on Ask Farnoosh and submit your question there. Lots of ways to get in touch. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And I hope your day is so money. You want to know what's worse than shopping for jeans? Shopping for bras. It's never been fun for me until Third Love came into my life. Third Love was launched to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. They make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen probably since high school and have straps that actually stay put. Third Love's bras are designed at their headquarters in San Francisco, and they're made from premium materials. They put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before they're given the stamp of approval. And whether you're a AA or an H cup, their virtual fitting room can help find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups, so long feeling stuck between two cup sizes that just don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. That's thirdlove.com to get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.